There is something about standing next to someone you've never met and singing God's praises, seeing someone from another culture and singing a song together and raising your voices in praise, praying with someone that you don't know, but actually you want to raise your voices in prayer to God. There is something about that. There is something about the expression there of gospel fellowship that is significant. Welcome to Independence, the FIEC podcast. My name's Phil Topham, Executive Director of the FIEC, and we're here to talk about rising lights. And with me to do that is Adrian Reynolds, our Associate National Director. Hello, Adrian.
Good morning.
And
well, it's morning to me.
It is. Well, it's, yep. It's worth saying this podcast is coming to you with not one but two cushions. If you're watching us, you'll see we've just changed the design of the set a little bit, and we've got a cushion here.
You love a cushion, don't you, Phil?
I love cushions. And you've got a cushion behind your back there as well, Adrian. So two cushions, ladies and gentlemen, if you weren't interested already in the podcast, that is two cushions.
All kind of puns come to mind. We'll avoid them all, I think.
Excellent. Let's talk about rising lights. Adrian, yes. Let's begin by saying, what is rising lights?
Rising lights is a new Easter event. Think Bible by the beach, think Keswick, think Word Alive, stepping into that space that we are organising, but not just for FIEC churches, for the wider evangelical church. It's kicking off in Easter 2026, 6th, we'll get the dates in early, 6th to 10th of April 2026. And there are all kinds of reasons that we'll talk about why we're doing it and what we're hoping for from it. But we're basically stepping into that gap that we've missed for a couple of years because a well-known other event, Word Alive, had to close down.
And it's worth saying, we wouldn't be doing Rising Lights if Word Alive was still going, would we?
Lots of us used to go to Word Alive, really benefited from it. That's part of the reason for doing Rising Lights. We can talk about why that is in just a moment. But we missed that space, we missed that opportunity, and there's a gap there in the market. We wanted to serve our churches and actually, from a point of generosity, serve the wider church as well.
So Rising Light, 6th to 10th of April 2026, that's just
which
after
we
Easter.
Say is, yes, Easter Monday through to the Friday. Yeah. So you at church, you can be at church at home on Easter Sunday, and then it begins on Easter Monday.
And it will begin after lunch, won't it? So people have travel time on the morning.
That's right.
Very good. And tell me a bit about what the ethos is behind Rising Lights.
Can you say where it is as well?
Well, let's say, so Torquay.
Yep, so Torquay. Where is that?
Well, we've some experience of Torquay, haven't we? Because we used to do the Leaders
That's
Conference
right.
there.
And so, we're using some of the same venues.
Yeah, so the Riviera International Conference Centre, or just the Riviera International Centre, as it's called now, that is in Torquay Harbour, and that will be our main venue. 1,500 people can be seated there. And then we've got other venues, haven't we, around the kind of harbour arc.
That's right. Yeah. And if you head down the M5, you get to Exeter, you turn right, it's just along there.
And it's all dual carriageway till about the last mile and a half.
It is all dual carriageway. So it's nice and easy to get to. Access by trains are really good. There are direct trains, not just from London, actually, but from Birmingham and Manchester as well, and up the West Coast. So it's got good access. I mean, if you live in the far north of the country, it's a long way. But for most people who are sort of in central and southern England, it's well within reach for a 4 or 5 day event.
And this is a podcast for church leaders. And if you are an FIEC church leader, you've probably been to one of the conferences there, haven't you? Yeah. And you know where it is. And I think it's fair to say that when we first went to Torquay, people said, oh, it's a long way. We had been going to Hemsby, which was also a long way for a lot of people around the country. But actually, once you've done it, it's not a terrible journey, is it? It's very straightforward.
It's very easy to get to. And it's a nice setting. Yeah. It's by the coast, nice outlook. Yeah. All
Brilliant.
Those things.
Brilliant. Now, we've talked a bit about Rising Lights as being a chance for us to gather with God's people, to be refreshed in our faith and to grow as we go back to our churches. And I think that's a really helpful way to think about Rising Lights. We want to gather hundreds, thousands of Christians together in Torquay. Why is that so important to gather God's people together like that?
Yeah, so it's worth saying something about the numbers. We think we've got capacity for just over 3,000 adults, about 1,000 children. So that's a similar kind of youth work, children's work size to Word Alive, a bit smaller on the adults, but not a lot smaller. So there's plenty of capacity. There's real value in gathering together, Phil. Now, we know that every Sunday, and we're not in any way denying that you know the place where all the action happens is the local church. We're a fellowship of local churches. We really believe in the local church, and yet we also know the value of gathering together
to reinforce our faith, to, you know, there's something about singing God's praises with the thousands of people rather than just a few hundred or even just a handful on a Sunday morning. So we're not replacing the local church, but what we're doing is we're getting a little foretaste really of what's to come as God's people gather together. So there's power, isn't there, in praying together. There's power in singing together. There's power in sitting under God's word and learning together. So that gathering actually is a really important expression of gospel fellowship, both within the FIC, that's why we have a leaders' conference, but also more widely within the evangelical world, which we ought to say just feels very fractured at the moment. And I think there are lots of reasons for that. Obviously, people have got lots of distractions with what's going on in their denominations. We're fighting some rearguard actions in some parts of the church against liberalism. In other parts of the church, we're fighting other, quite significant battles. We feel under the cosh. And although there are lots of great things happening, we've been talking about those on the podcast, still we feel a little bit, we're under pressure. And so actually gathering together is not just... And it's not just something we do to build ourselves up. It expresses to the world, and actually, in Ephesians chapter 3, it expresses to the spiritual powers and authorities something of the nature of the gospel, the victory of the gospel, and the power of the gospel. So I think gathering is not just something that makes us feel good, though that it does do that. I love it. Even though I'm an introvert, I love being together with lots of other people and singing God's praises. But it's not just good for us. It's good for the gospel to express that we're on the winning side and to basically say to Satan, you're done.
And it's incredible, isn't it, when you first go to a big gathering like that and the music strikes, people get to their feet. It's a song or a hymn everybody knows. The voices are raised. It's spine tingling, if that makes sense.
It is.
It's an incredible moment to praise God together like that.
It is. I just want to row back on that a little bit, because actually when I get up with 30 people on a Sunday morning, let's say, and I sing an old hymn, and we sing it from our hearts, that is also spine tingling.
And I wasn't suggesting by the
way. I think we've got to be careful to think that the spine tingling stuff comes just from numbers, because otherwise we'd all be very depressed every Sunday morning. Whereas actually the gathering of God's people, even if you're just a small number this Sunday, we're recording this on a Friday, if you're gathering this Sunday and you're just a small number of people, you are doing a remarkable thing. And it should be spine tingling. The fact that it isn't is probably more to do with our own hearts rather than the spiritual realities. But you're right, there is something about standing next to someone you've never met and singing God's praises, seeing someone from another culture and singing a song together and raising your voices in praise, praying with someone that you don't know, but actually you want to raise your voices in prayer to God. There is something about that. There is something about the expression there of gospel fellowship that is significant.
But all those voices, that cacophony, whether it's 30 or 3,000, is awesome, isn't it?
It is. Yeah, absolutely awesome. And I love singing. And I've gone a bit deaf since COVID, so I'm not so good at singing as I used to be, but I still love it. And there's someone I know well in church who's a terrible singer. I mean, a really, really terrible singer. And I love standing next to him, her. I'm not going to reveal who it is. because him, her, that's not, by the way, chosen pronouns. I'm not
you don't
want
to reveal whether
it's
a man or a woman.
That person loves singing praises. And actually, it doesn't matter even if you're tuneless. Singing praises to God is a great privilege and a wonderful thing.
Now, a lot of people listening to this will be church leaders, Adrian. They are used to gathering perhaps in the leaders' conference with FIEC, perhaps other local conferences in their fraternal groupings, that kind of thing. Why should church leaders push Rising Lights to their congregations?
That's a great question,
to come along?
I'm a church leader. I've been a church leader for 30 years. I think as church leaders, especially those in paid ministry, we are remarkably privileged. And we sometimes forget that. You know, if I want to read a book on a difficult subject, and the church pays me to do that, essentially. If I want to go to a conference, I mean, you know, leaders have different things in their contracts and arrangements with their churches, but often they'll go to a couple of conferences a year. So if I want to go to the BCUK conference next year on identity, or I wanted to go to last year's on trauma, I can do that and I can get really good inputs. And that helps me as a church leader serve my church well. So those things are really, really important in the evangelical firmament. But actually, I think as leaders, we have to put ourselves in the shoes of church members. They don't have those opportunities. Actually, time is really precious. I think sometimes, I do this myself. Someone says, oh, I've got this issue with problem A, problem B. I say, oh, you need to read this book, you need to read that book. That's not always the best solution, especially if the books are big and chunky.
People are time poor, yeah?
Yeah. You know, if you've got a busy day job, you've got a young family at home, let's say, and you're committed to serving at church, and you're trying to get out one or two nights a week to meet other people, you have very, very little free time. So I think when I used to go along to these events just as an ordinary guy, rather than as a church leader.
Adrian, the ordinary guy.
What I really benefited from was getting basically niche specialist input that I couldn't get elsewhere. And however hard as a church leader you try and put these things on, you just can't do all these things. So we have a thing at our church, don't we? We did a thing last year with Care, where someone from Care came and talked to us about beginning and end of life issues. And we had a good evening, but only about half the church could come because the rest, you know, weren't able to come out in an evening or babysitting, whatever else it may be. And, you know, we had someone who was able to come for us. Not every church can organize that. So, for example, having a four-session track, which we will do from Care, on beginning and end of life issues and how we tackle them and how they kind of interact and intersect with the Christian life, that is input that ordinary church members just won't get normally. And that's the real value of gathering together, is there is strength in numbers, not just in the singing and in praying and in sitting under God's word together and encouraging one another and hearing gospel stories, but actually in learning together and getting input, especially in specialist areas that you wouldn't be able to otherwise access.
So we want to gather people together to be refreshed. Now, that's one of the reasons, isn't it, that we've chosen the location we've chosen, because as well as all the great content, which we'll say a bit more about when we get to how it will help us to grow in our faith at Rising Lights, that the refreshment's really important because life is busy, isn't it? And it's good, you've referenced it there, to step away from the busyness to be refreshed for the next season. Why does the location help with some of that? You and I have been, we were down there a couple of weeks ago, weren't we, doing some planning. Why does the location
in the rain,
help
which
with
I
that?
Hope wasn't a preparation for April.
Well, true, but I mean,
we still have fun.
The rain might come, but it's still a great place to gather, isn't it? So why is this such refreshment in the places we've chosen to take Rising Lights?
Well, just to step back from that question just very slightly, we can and we will put on a really good program. We'll talk about that in a moment. But we want people not just to come and learn, but we want people to refresh. That's why we've used that word. We want people to rest. We want people to get time out of the normal rhythms and patterns of life. And that's a very biblical idea. The whole idea of Sabbathing, I think, is really important. Now, quite how we understand that and how we apply that in church life will vary from place to place. But the importance of rest, the importance of downtime, the importance of recharging the batteries, it's absolutely essential to the Christian life. I've learned this. I'm not sure I can give you a chapter and verse on this, Phil, but I've learned over the years that I think I have three different batteries in my body. I have a spiritual battery, I have an emotional battery, and I have a physical battery. And each of them gets depleted by life. And what I need to do is I need to be recharging each of those batteries. And I know how to recharge my spiritual battery. I know that meeting with God's people, the ordinary means of grace, I know that my daily devotions and prayer, those things recharge my spiritual battery, as indeed to the bigger things like Rising Lights. I know that I need to recharge my physical batteries, but I'm not very good at it. I know I need to recharge my emotional batteries. I'm even less good at that. But actually doing something different, doing something enjoyable, doing something fun, looking out over a nice view, these things recharge the batteries. And that's really, really important just to getting on in life. I think too many of our churches are full of people who are frankly run down. They're run down by life. They're run down by family pressures. They're run down by church life sometimes. And so that opportunity to refresh is really key. We just had a church weekend. And they're not so popular as they used to be because of cost. I think it cost us a lot. This may be the last one we do. I don't know. But actually, one of the benefits of it was just the downtime together, being able to slow down, slow the pace down, refresh, laugh, have fun, all those kinds of things.
Excellent. Now, tell me, when we think about what it means to be refreshed, I wrote an article on this for the website, which perhaps we can link to in the show notes. I find the seaside just very, very relaxing. I know, perhaps not for everybody, but I think when you see the water, the waves lapping on the beach, there's just something about that. Maybe it's because I grew up near the beach when I was a young man. Perhaps that's the reason. But there is something about that calmness, isn't there? It's a nice place to be.
Well, as you know, I grew up by the sea.
Southend on sea,
that's right.
It's even in the name.
It's even in the name. And although it's actually on the Thames, but Depends which part of South End you're in, I suppose. I grew up very near the sea. We went down to the beach every day. Stony, shingly, pebbly thing. Every day we looked at the sea. We went swimming in it a lot, although I don't recommend that. If you're listening in, this is not an endorsement of the sea quality.
Thank you for clarifying.
And yeah, I love the water. I love the water so much. And it's perhaps the Lord's sense of humour that I'm almost as far from water as it's possible to be in the UK now. So I do miss the sea. But you're right, there is something calming about that. There is something about the air that's fresher by the sea. The sea breeze comes off, the breeze comes off the sea, doesn't it? And freshens the air. So there is something about the place. Torquay has also got a few hills, as we know, walking up and down them.
Indeed.
So it's not just flat like Southend. It does have a few hills as well. So it's a very attractive place. It's actually on the southwest coast path as well, very famous walking path. And for example, one of the things we're going to do is we're going to organise some walks along the southwest coast path to make the most of that. But yes, I think actually more fundamentally than that, it's good to be refreshed as going somewhere different. So although I love the sea, I don't now live by the sea, I love going to somewhere where there are lakes and mountains for my holiday because I like looking out on something different. And actually somewhere different does us good. And we can gaze out, we can admire the beauty of the world. But actually we just say, oh yes, what's that? Oh, what's that? Oh, what's that? That kind of thing.
And there'll be things that refresh people as part of the programme, won't there? So you mentioned a walk along the coastal path. We'll have a fun zone there with inflatables and the like for children and the young at heart. We're going to have a huge bookstore with 10 of those, massive sort of expo or similar with lots of different Christian organisations that'll be in the main Riviera Centre. There'll be lots of opportunities to rub shoulders with others and refreshing in different ways as well.
It's not all content.
No.
And it's not all seminars and, you know, see how many sessions you can come to. We're deliberately planning in some things that will be more enjoyable, some art stuff, some sports stuff. We're trying to plan a golf day, if you like golf. I realise that won't be for everybody.
No.
You don't like golf?
I'm good at putting. I can't do the driving.
Okay, well, there's a crazy golf.
There is. Maybe I could win at crazy
golf.
There
is the Jungle Journey crazy golf, which is a classy crazy golf. I like a bit of crazy golf myself. So there are all those things to do. And we both want to point people towards things that are already there, but organise some stuff ourselves so that people have fun and people have a chance to do things. And not just to do things as individuals, but to do things as families. So there'll be some family workshops, we're going to do some art workshops, all that kind of stuff. So those sorts of things are not, in one sense, they're not core to the content, but they actually are core to the whole ethos of what we're trying to organised with Rising Lights, because we want people not just to gather but also to be refreshed.
You mentioned our church weekend away. It's a great opportunity here, perhaps for your church, to use this as the time away with the church.
Yeah, I mean, why not come
there, right?
Why not come as a group? You can access the things you want to access. You can go for a walk together. You can do some stuff together. You can go out for a meal together. Yes, if you can be creative about that, if you can get someone in your church to organise that, to champion that, it could be a really significant few days for you as a church.
And just give us an idea of some of those other kind of value-added things that are on the agenda. So we've talked about Lego building, art.
Family cinema.
Yeah, all these
kind
of things.
And we do realise it might rain in April. So we've got some wet weather activities as well. Yeah, so there'll be some sports activities. There'll be fun activities. We're going to do a series of art workshops sort of for people who are just trying things out. My first crochet perhaps, or my first illustration, or my first collage that you can come and do with kids. So all those sorts of things will be around, and will point people towards other things in town that they can do as well.
So lots going on in and around Torquay to help us refresh. But we also want to come back to our churches after Rising Lights, having grown in our faith. And I think that's where the kind of content programme, it really, really comes into its own. So Paul Mallard will be doing the main teaching from Philippians. We've been trailing that for 12 months or so. We knew that Paul was going to be our main speaker. But running alongside Paul's teaching in the mornings are eight tracks, aren't they, which enable us to look at different areas of the Christian life and to help us to grow in our faith and the way we serve the Lord Jesus.
It's worth saying that all our teaching in the morning is going to be from Philippians across the age ranges.
Yeah, all the kids will do that
so
as well.
Maybe we'll
they?
Talk about kids in just a moment, but the kids are going to be doing Philippians as well. We've tried to be joined up about that. That's really important. Yeah, so we've got eight tracks that are running, Phil. You don't have to go to them if you don't want to. Nothing is obligatory at these things. That's the whole point. You come and use it as best serves you. But we've tried to put on morning sessions especially. So the idea is that I suppose we're imagining you would go to a morning Bible reading with Paul Mallard, you'd look at Philippians, and then you'd choose a track, one of the 8 tracks. And we've tried in the tracks to cover a range of different topics. So there are theological topics. There are topics that make you think, I suppose, and help you grow in your learning. There are topics that are more about the Christian life and how it's lived out. There are topics about engagement, all those sorts of things. So just here are a few examples. Tim Chester is going to do a track for us on intimacy with Jesus and what it means to enjoy intimacy with Jesus, which has both a theological edge to it. So Tim is coming with Crosslands. Crosslands, one of our partners, and they're going to provide that theological input for us. Tim's going to do that on their behalf. He's part of the faculty, but really applying it to everyday life. It's not just, you know, how can I know more about Jesus, but how can I experience more of Jesus? Mm. That's what we're trying to get to. How can I love him more? How can I delight in him more? And then Glenn Scrivener is coming to run a track on evangelism. We're calling it Evangelism for Normal People. So we're all normal people. We're all slightly in awe of amazing evangelists like Glenn. But others who seem to be able to be to speak into situations that we don't and have words that we don't. But Glenn is great at doing this. He's going to help us think about what does that mean for us as just ordinary people. What does it mean to connect? What does it mean to share the gospel with friends? What does it mean to live for Christ? Let's be empowered to do that. So there's two examples, but other things we're doing, there's a marriage track with Stephen Sean Robinson. And for example, that's the kind of thing that you think, well, I might do a morning at church. If I really get organized as a church leader, I might do a morning at church. Like Celia and I have done some of these where we get couples together and we do a sort of marriage refresher. But you can't do 4 sessions and you can't get, you know, frankly, you can't get people like Stephen Sean in. They're busy in church life and ministry. So to get the expertise in to come and help you with something like this is great. So actually for couples in your church, this could be a real, real boon, real help.
I'm sure I'm not the only one who struggles with prayer sometimes. And Rachel Jones is going to be helping us to think about prayer. She's written some great books for the Good Book Company on prayer.
Well, she's both written and edited. Mm. So she's written the series and edited the series, 5 Things to Pray For. So they're not all written by her. So for example, 5 Things to Pray For a Suffering Friend is written by Helen Thorne Allison. Mm. But she's edited the series. She's thoughtful about this and she comes to it actually not as someone who's got all the answers, but someone who's growing and hoping to learn. I love Rachel's stuff. I think it's great. So yeah, she's coming to help us. And by the way, these are all people who have been involved with Word Alive in the past and some of the other events that are around the country. So they know how to do these things as well. So we've deliberately chosen people who have a track record of working in these kind of settings. So we're going to, you know, we can hit the ground running in year one.
And Sharon James is going to be helping us think about church history.
Yeah, we always wanted to have some church history. We think that's important. We think actually that we need to know our history and we also need to know what we can learn from it. So again, this is not just head knowledge. This is how we can learn what it means to live today. So Sharon is going to come and give us 4 little pen portraits of women through church history. And I'm really looking forward to that. I think it's going to be excellent. Sharon works at the Christian Institute. They very kindly allowed her to come along and speak. And she's great on this stuff. She's really thought through on church history. So yes, I'm looking forward to her. We've already mentioned Care.
Yeah, yeah. James Mildred's coming
to come and do some beginning and end of life issues. That's really important. Andy Robinson, who runs the Midlands Ministry Training Course. Sorry, not the Midlands. The South Central Ministry Training Course. Get the right one. In Oxford. He's going to come and do a Bible overview for us. One of the things that we used to value about Word Alive, especially, I suppose, was there was always a Bible overview. So if you're a relatively new Christian or this is all new to you, here's something actually which perhaps other people take for granted and perhaps is even taken for granted in church life, in our preaching and ministry, but is really foundational to understanding the Bible well. And he's going to do something. He's calling it Beginning with Moses, picking up on those words that Jesus spoke to the disciples after the resurrection, which seems a fitting thing to do the week after Easter.
And we've got Pete Dray coming as well, who's going to be helping us think about culture. I think this is a really exciting track in terms of how do we think about the culture, the air we breathe, I guess, the culture we move in. How do we think about that wisely and how can we impact that culture for the Lord Jesus?
Yeah, and Pete is a master at this. He did a few things at Keswick and there was people couldn't get in. It was sold out. And we're really glad that he's able to come and help us with this. You know, it's just simple questions. How do you watch a TikTok as a Christian? You may not, leader, even know what a TikTok is.
What is a TikTok?
But you know, actually, we need to be thinking about these questions as Christians. And actually, even if you're not engaging with TikTok all day, your kids probably are. Mm. So these are actually subtly, these are like parenting streams as well. You know, you're helping parents to grapple with these things as well as people who are actually engaging with them. So yeah, I think that's a really good and important track for us.
So that's a kind of overview of the main content for adults. We've got evening speakers as well. We're going to be looking at the life of Moses in evenings.
That's right. And most of the evenings.
Okay. Not all of them. Yes, one will be different.
We're going to be looking at the life of Moses, and we've got a number of people we've asked to come and do that. We're still waiting to hear back from some of them. Mike Kane, for example, is coming for Emmanuel Bristol, is coming one evening, which, by the way, is just an indication that this isn't an FIEC event. We're putting it on, yeah. And, you know, we're kind of doing all the structural stuff behind it. But we're trying to make it non-partisan. You'll see that as you see some of the partners who are announced and as you see some of the speakers who are coming. We want to serve the wide evangelical world. We're not making a case here for an FIEC conference. We're saying organized by us, but for everyone. We want to be generous as we can. So yes, evenings looking at the life of Moses, four encounters that Moses has with God. Over the course of Monday evening, Tuesday evening, Thursday evening, then we finish Friday after lunch. So that would be the last session. Wednesday evening's a bit different. Can I talk about that? We're working with Release International, who serve Christians in the persecuted church, to put on an evening with some guests coming from overseas to help us think about how do we respond to the persecuted church? How do we serve? How do we fulfill that biblical command to remember those who are in prison as though you were there with them in Hebrews 13? And I think there are more Christians now persecuted than ever in history. And because of all the traumas and the wars going on around the world, we often forget these things. We forget that every day Christians are being murdered in Nigeria. We forget that every day Christians are being imprisoned and tortured in North Korea, and lots of other things obviously going on around the world as well. So it's really important as Christians that we have a clear view about that, and Release International are going to help us think through that and deal with that. And it's really good that we give that our focus one evening. We don't want to be inward looking, we want to be outward looking.
Let's talk about provision for noughts to 25s. Okay. Let's start with a big group, noughts to 18s. that's all our sort of youth and children's work is being provided for us by Growing Young Disciples, who are one of our partners. So Mel Lacey and her team are going to be doing that. And they're going to be taking the kids through Philippians as well.
Yeah, that's right. We wanted to be consistent like that. We wanted to say, wouldn't it be great if when you get home in families, the things that the adults have been looking at, the kids have been looking at too. In fact, there'll be a journal for Rising Lights, which has not just the text, the Hodder and Stoughton, who produced the Bear Grylls Young Adventurer Bible, have kindly agreed to let us use that section of the Bear Grylls Bible. That will be in the journal. So if something fun to look at with a Bible text with your kids, but family devotions in there, personal devotions with help from UCCF and their Uncover team. So we're working through making sure it's as joined up as it can be. So yeah, I mean, I think that's exciting. I mean, I don't have children now at home in the same way. I've got grandchildren now, but the idea that you sort of get up on a Tuesday morning and you talk about the things you learned yesterday, or a Wednesday morning, you talk about the things you learned yesterday, and look, let's look at the devotions, the family devotions together. I think that's really exciting.
It really is. And more than that, we're going to have a all-age worship service, which Growing Young Disciples will run. But I think Mel plans to make the material available to churches to take away with them.
Yeah, so if you're a leader and you're thinking, I, you know, the thing you really dread is when it says family all-age service in the in the rota. There'll be a template, we think, by the end of the week of four different services that you can use kind of off the shelf, really.
So you can take them back with you and then use them in your local church, right, which is great. And let's just talk finally about kind of 18s to 25s. We're partnering with UCCF to provide some content for them. Yeah.
So lots of people know that UCCF are one of the organisers of Word Live. They're not organising this event. They're stepping back from that for all kinds of reasons, which are right and good. But they are going to help us by running the we're calling it sort of student stroke young adult work, because we recognise that not everybody who is that age goes off to university, but lots do. And we want to make this as attractive as possible for students. And I'll say something about that in just one very short moment. But yes, they're going to be running the student work for us. We're really excited about that and what that might mean. Some of the student work will just be integrated into the main work. For example, the tracks, we'd expect people who are young adults to choose the track they want to come to, but otherwise there will be specific things for them to do, and that's really important. Now, what's going to happen with what am I talking about? UCCF.
Yeah.
Someone's just waving at us through the window.
Through the window, which is very disconcerting.
I've been slightly put off by that. Students.
Yeah, that's right.
We hope the students will come with their CUs, perhaps, or with, you know, a small group that they might have at their CU. But actually, here's an idea for a church. We are, as a church, are a net sender. We don't have a student work in Market Harbour. There aren't any universities. So we send people. So we've got students in various places dotted around the country. So you as a church could actually say to some of those students, hey, why don't you come with us as part of our group? Mm. You know, perhaps we could pay for you, or we could, you know, get you a room in a hotel where we're staying, whatever it may be. So I think one of the things that we sometimes do as churches is we send our students off to university and basically forget about them, think they're someone else's problem, or that they're in someone else's CU or someone else's church. But actually, they're still part of your church. They should still be loved and cared for by your family. So here's an idea. Why not think about bringing along students that you've sent off to university? Mm. Rather than ones that you've got in, I mean, you can do that as well, rather than ones you've got in your church.
Well, we've got a student price of £100, which has just been announced this past week. So do encourage those 18 to 25 to come along at that discounted price. If you've booked already in that age group at a higher price, do be in touch with us. We want to serve you in that zone, because we recognise we didn't do that when the tickets were first launched. But tickets are £160 for adults, £40 for kids. The kids' places will sell out.
They will, yeah.
Some places are already running low. So if you are bringing your family, I'd encourage you to get your tickets as soon as you can. My final pitch would be, when you're booking your accommodation, don't assume that Airbnb is the cheapest option. There are loads of hotels, B&Bs, where you can get a room for a week, perhaps even a family room for a very reasonable price.
I hadn't really realised, Phil, until we went down there last week and we walked the streets. It is hotel land.
Yes.
And, you know, some good hotels that are very reasonably priced, actually. So it's not the case, you know, you need to find a house. There aren't many houses around the centre, although as you go out further out, there are lots. Actually, the places around the centre, they were houses and villas and fancy things once upon a time, but now they are all hotels.
And so B&Bs.
Yeah. Lots and lots of hotel and B&B accommodation.
Yeah, so lots there for you to choose from, and I hope you'll find a good place to stay. Adrian, it's been great to talk about Rising Lights.
I'm excited about
it. I'm really excited. Yeah. We've been down several times doing our planning, and every time I go, just get that bit more excited about what Rising Lights is going to look like. So do book your tickets now at risinglights.co.uk. It's been great to talk about how we're going to gather, refresh and grow at Rising Lights 2026. Thanks, Adrian.